pretty to get it on. Good to have you here. Good to be back again and visiting with you. Today I'd like to do something I've thought about for quite a while. And as soon as I get my notes together here, the book of Matthew, turn to chapter 3. John the Baptist had a life much like we have. He does or did things just like he was to do. And I'm reading about John the Baptist in chapter 3. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Strange how that wilderness pops up again. Notice in chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Yahshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Sometimes we think we're out here in the wilderness. We don't have a lot of people listening. We don't find them many that are sincerely interested, wanting to know what they should be doing and what Yahweh wants us to be doing now. So there is John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, and Yahshua follows up what he did. Verse 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and the raiment, a leathern girdle about his loins. Move on down to verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan. And they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And then he goes on in verse 9 and says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Elohim is able to of these things to raise up children unto Abraham. And then in verse 10, John says, and now also is the actual age of the fruit of the tree. Therefore, every tree that brings forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Here John explains in verse 11 what his task was, what he was called to do. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will purge his flow and gather his wheat into the ground, but he will burn up. Burn up the shaft of that bench of a fire. I want you to notice, beginning there in verse 14, we read, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you're coming to me. Joshua came to John and wanted to get baptized. Well, surely John looked at Joshua and knew that he was by far the Savior of the world. Why should he be baptized? Well, he did it to give us an example that we would do what he did. And notice there in verse 15, and Joshua answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So John the Baptist baptized Joshua as an example for us. And verse 16 says, Joshua, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. That's a good verse to remember. When you talk to somebody about baptism, they want to be baptized by the fire hose of the fire department. They actually went down into the water and got all wet. Sometimes you have to show people verses like this to convince them we know what we're doing. And a voice from heaven said, went up straight away out. Verse 17, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. Notice here in verse 3, he was the creator of all things. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from Elohim whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He is in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Joshua was the creator of this earth. Joshua created everything. Verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Elohim, even to them that believe on his name, which was born out of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of Elohim. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Interesting that we read there that the Word, Yahshua, was made flesh. He was made flesh because it came from the spirit realm. And he is the one that was made flesh, just like we are. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We find verse 15 says, John bear witness of him. And I want you to notice the apostle. Just stay with 15. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I speak. And he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. But we're told that John tells us that Yahshua existed before John the Baptist. Verse 16, and of the fullness he received grace for grace. Verse 29, the next day, John sees Yahshua coming unto him and says, Behold the Lamb of Elohim, which takes away the sins of the world. Notice the witness. He now tells us that he knows this is Yahshua. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. You would never think that John the Baptist would turn against Yahshua, do you? In fact, as he does, he questions that. Matthew 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Yahshua had made an end commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Notice first he goes out, gets to know the terrain, the land, and now he goes back to visit. Verse 2 of chapter 11. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Messiah, he sent two of his disciples. What's John doing in prison? You remember that the Messiah and all the babies 2 years old and under were to be killed. John the Baptist is out in the wilderness where they can't find him. I don't know how much good he was doing in the wilderness. People weren't out there. But John knows here. I want to read this again. It came to pass when Yahshua had made an end of commanding of soul disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison, John was in the prison. You know, he has about 4 or 5 more days to live. He'll be killed. His head will be on a platter for Herod's delight. Well, let's read that verse too. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Messiah, he sent 2 of his disciples and said unto them, unto him, Are you he that we should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist is doubting that he was actually talking to Yahshua the Messiah. He doubts maybe he was not the one that was picking out Yahshua as the world salvation will depend upon. And notice what Yahshua answered, verse 4. Go, his 2 disciples are told, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. You know, John the Baptist is wondering what's going on. Here I am in prison, and this one that I thought was Yahshua, he's out doing healing. He's putting the ear back on the soldier. Where is that fellow? Healing people. And John can't get over that. Why would he do all this other stuff? I'm in prison. I can't get out and teach. I can't get out and baptize more people. And here I am in prison. Maybe I did have the wrong guy. He should be doing the work. When you go and read what is going on, verse 5, Yahshua says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the evangel preached to them. Yahshua doesn't back off. But John the Baptist, first but second, maybe a day or two, wonder, is this really the Savior? Have you and I sometimes done the same thing? We ask for Yahweh's benevolence to do something, and we ask for a prayer to be answered. We don't get any answer. We begin to wonder, are we doing this right? Am I really the right one to be praying and asking Yahweh for favors? Or am I expecting too much? Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1. You'll notice there that Peter tells us we're not always going to understand the ways of Yahweh. And he tells us, blessed be the Elohim and the Father, and in verse 3, the Master Yahshua Messiah, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again and to a living hope. What I suppose we could go through the two books that Peter left. What is Peter doing? Peter is saying to us, you've already been chosen for Yahweh. As long as you're doing His will, doing the things you're supposed to be doing, everything is fine. But there are things that we can do now. In fact, he talks in here about in chapter 2, the living stone in verse 4. What Peter is saying is, do the work, learn Yahweh's way, study and learn what we should be doing. And that way, your goal will be completed, and you'll know that you're doing Yahweh's will, and you will have a better place in the kingdom for doing what you're doing and seeing to it that Yahshua is being preached wherever you can. Peter is one of the disciples that at first had problems. But he straightened out too. And don't forget, we also can do Yahweh's will and be obedient to Him as He gives us promise as long as we are faithful. The kingdom is waiting. I guess that's about all I have for you today. I need more practice, I see that. I hope you understand. No.
Some time ago, in fact it was many years ago, that I started to come out of the world and started to obey Yahweh. And I learned a number of things right away. One of those things was, I thought to myself, these are His people. I'm going to be just like them. And once I came in and started to get around them and get to know them, I found out I didn't want to be just like every one of them. And I remember being told, someone was commenting about someone, and they had made the comment, I'm not sure if they're really converted. And I guess I somewhat understood, but it was the first time I've ever heard that. Now, why would someone say that of another? Well, were they living a lifestyle contrary to what would be expected of a believer? Evidently so, I suspect. Well, is being converted a process? Is it something that happens instantaneously? If someone were to ask you today, are you converted? What would you say? Would you say, yes, I have repented and I've been baptized in the only name under heaven in which salvation is given? Would that be enough? Let's turn into Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. You've heard about putting your hand to the plow. Well, what does that mean, really? It means doing something, doesn't it? Luke 9:62. It says, no one, this is Yahshua speaking, he said, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think about putting my hand to a plow, even though I've never really done any agriculture, I think of, well, you know, going forward with it. not just standing there, not trying to pull it back, you know, but going forward and not, you know, just leaving it there. Well, I think that's what's being related here. And certainly Joshua says plainly, you know, if you put your hand to the plow and then look back, that you're not fit for the coming kingdom. And so we find ourselves being given instruction. We are told to be like little children, Matthew 18, verse 3. What are some of the attributes of little children? What are some of the positive attributes of little children? Certainly, they're learning. And so they're able to learn. Well, we need to be able to learn as well. Matthew 18:3 says, "Truly I say to you," this is Joshua's words again, "truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And again, we're told about the kingdom. And we're told if we don't become like little children, we won't enter. So Joshua is concerned about what? He's concerned about us doing certain things. He's concerned about us entering into that kingdom. He wants us to enter. In looking up what it is to be converted or to convert, I looked in a book of synonyms, and basically it says, you know, it's a like an action of verbs. It means to turn, to change, to transform, to alter, to reverse, to transpose, even to return. And what does Yahweh tell us? He wants us to return to Him. And of course, does He want us to just turn to Him and do nothing? To say, well, I've been baptized, I'm good to go. Maybe I should come to services, or maybe I should keep those feasts that I was once excited about. There are some that maybe will hear this that maybe will question whether or not they are converted. Acts 3 and verse 19. Again and again and again, we're told to repent. Repent, repent, repent. Change, turn, be converted. Acts 3 and verse 19. "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped out, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh, and that He may send Joshua the Messiah appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until a period of restoration of all things, about which Elohim spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient times." And it's very true that people don't really want to listen to us. These Hebrew names, what? These laws. Well, I don't need to do those. I'm under grace, not under law, right? So we abound in grace so we can sin more, right? No, it's not what Paul said. Well, actually, he did say that, but then he said, Yahweh forbid. Because he asked the question. And so here we are, very few. And we find people come, get excited, and then we never really hear from them again. And you have to be wondering, where are they? Are they doing the things that they should be doing? Are they still overcoming? Are they truly converted? Well, how does one become converted? Well, let's go over to Psalms 19 and verse 7. Let's take a look. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, "The law of Yahweh is perfect, restoring the being, restoring the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple." King David said that he had more understanding and greater knowledge than that of his teachers because he meditated upon Yahweh's law day and night. You also hear of Yahweh's people coming before him day and night. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Is it just law? Is it just having faith in Yahshua? Well, I think we're familiar with Revelation 14:12, where it talks about the saints will have, well, these are the attributes, that they'll be keeping the commandments of Yahweh, and they'll also be having faith in Yahshua. Well, Acts 20 and verse 21 basically says the same thing, that what was preached was testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards Yahweh and faith in our Master Yahshua the Messiah. Paul himself said again and again that he kept the law. He didn't disobey it. He says, and you don't have to turn here, but in Acts 24 and 14, he says he believes everything is written in accordance with the law. Verse 16, he says, I do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before Yahweh and before men. In verse 8 of 25, he says, I have committed no offense either against the law of the Jews or against the temple or against Caesar. Three different laws being talked about there. I think when we can understand what those three laws are, we have a better understanding of what happened. But what does it take to have true repentance? 2 Corinthians says that there is a type of sorrow, a worldly sorrow, but that's not what Yahweh wants. I remember a minister who used to cry a lot. And there's nothing wrong with crying. I think that's a manly thing to do at times. But this one went out and was found, had been videotaped going into a motel with a prostitute. He had like a worldly sorrow because he wasn't doing Yahweh's will. He was doing just the opposite. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 says, for the sorrow that is according to the will of Elohim produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And we know that sin produces death, that is the effect of sin. So we are to be clean of sin. We are to keep ourselves clean and not go that route. You know, when we have repented, we are changing our ways from that of sinning, our former past life, and changing, bringing forth good fruit. And that's mentioned in Matthew 3 and verse 8. Matthew 3 and 8 says, therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Who said that? John the Baptist. I hadn't really thought about this before today, but, you know, was John the Baptist doing, I mean, why was he in the wilderness? Shouldn't he be in the towns? But there's a book by Ernest L. Martin called The Star That Astonished the World, and he presents the idea that Yahshua actually started his ministry during a sabbatical. And that may have been why he had so many people out in the fields with him. I mean, he fed, what was it, 5,000? If the people had heard that there was a prophet in the wilderness, would they have went? I think there would have been a few that may have gone. So it was good timing to have John the Baptist out there at that time, and certainly Yahshua starting his ministry, if that, indeed that is true, and I think it certainly is. If we are baptized into Yahshua's death, and we know that that's what we're basically doing. We're being burying our old man. Well, if we are baptized into Yahshua's death, what has happened? Romans 6. Paul speaking. a little hard to understand. I think he makes himself pretty clear. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Yahshua the Messiah have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So a change. Now some think, you know, maybe you can just be sprinkled, and that's baptism. Well, as we saw earlier today, that Elder Don brought out, Matthew talks about Yahshua going, being immersed, basically. That's what baptism is. It's what the wording is. But some might say, well, back at this time they had, you know, sepulchers and ossuary boxes and stuff like that. That was burial. They didn't bury him in the ground. Well, can you see or picture, a hand sticking out of the ossuary box, or maybe a foot sticking out of the, wherever the person is buried? It doesn't make sense. A burial is a covering, a burying, being put out of sight. In fact, we can turn back to Genesis 21. Hold your place here, but Genesis 23 and verse 4. I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight, or from my face. It basically means, so I don't see them. So a burial really is a burial. You don't see the person, someone that's buried. And that's the point. Kind of a side note, but something to consider. Let's go back, not to Romans, but over to Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, and starting there in verse 1. We're to live new lives. We no longer are to look back. Nor are we to stand still. If you put your hand to the plow, just don't stand there. And yet I'm afraid some people come into this and think that they can just stand around and not really, help. But yet we're told to lift one another up, help one another. And there's some different ways of doing that. But in Colossians, starting in verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Elohim. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Are we worried about our jobs? I better work Saturday this coming, week because my boss said I'm fired if I don't. Well, we have to understand that we may have to give up our job. We have to be willing to give up our life for what we believe in, for what Yahshua has presented. There's no question about it. If we try to save it, what does it say? It says we'll lose it. I don't want to lose my life. I don't think you want to lose yours either. So we're here. We're striving to do what's right in Yahweh's sight, not our own. Then verse 3, it says, you have died and your life is hidden. Again, covered up. That idea of being immersed, the covering there. Your life is hidden with Messiah and Elohim. When Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry, basically anything against Yahweh's law. Verse 6, because it is because of these things that the wrath of Elohim will come upon the sons of disobedience, the sons of the lawless sons, those that break Yahweh's law. Verse 7, and in them you also once walked, but you were, and when you were living in them. But now You also put them all aside. Here's some of the weightier matters of the law. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. All those are things against the weightier matters. Weightier matters are actually mercy, faith, compassion. These things we're to have in abundance. These are things that are opposite to that and that we are not to have in our lives. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside this old self with its evil practices and have put on a new self who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And he was a perfect representation of Yahweh. And we are to represent both Yahweh and Yahshua here and now. To others, among ourselves, we're to be strengthened in this faith that we've been called into. Verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Messiah is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of Elohim, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against one, just as Yahweh forgave you, so you also should do. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah richly dwell within you, and all with all wisdom teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and thankfulness to Yahweh in your hearts. What do we do when we come here? Do we backbite each other? Do we complain about one another? Are we angry towards one another? Regrettably, some of these things come out. But we have to be what? We have to be and have self-control. And that control is submission to Yahweh's Spirit. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Master Yahshua, giving thanks through him to Yahweh the Father. So we're given a lot of instructions, a higher calling we have rather than just doing our own thing. Do we treat brethren with love, but treat unbelievers with contempt? I want to show you a couple things here that we need to be aware of in our respectful places of employment, dealing with even the postmaster at the post office. I mean, little things, but they know who we are, and they know where we are, and if we don't act properly, it gives a bad witness, and we're to be good witnesses. So we have to make sure that what we do is good and right in their sight as well. But first and foremost in Yahweh's sight. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. And may Yahweh, let's back up to 11. Now may our Elohim and Father himself and Yahshua our Master direct our way to you. And may Yahweh cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. It's including more than just themselves. What I see there, but let's look for another witness on that. Let's go back to Luke, the Evangel of Luke. Luke chapter 6. What does Yahshua say? What was his example? Even those that put him to death, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here he says in Luke 6:30, give to everyone who asks of you. It's not limited to brothers. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. That's a hard thing. You want to take my stuff? I'm going to, I'm going to try to grab it back. Am I not? Isn't that the natural response? And we're told to be going against our very own nature. Verse 35. Love your enemies. Do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. So Yahshua's own example is something that we're to follow. Let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. And we are to grow in grace and knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah. So we're not just to stand still. We're to learn these things and move forward. I'm sorry. Let me back up. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Keep your... And here's a benefit. I'll get to this other part here shortly, but here's a benefit of treating others well that even aren't in the faith. It says, keep your behavior excellent among the nations, the peoples, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, your actions, as they observe them, glorify Yahweh on the day of visitation. Everyone is going to be going before Yahweh's throne. And there may be a time when they will, there will be a time when they will glorify Him and go, I knew one of your people. In fact, I see him right there. I can't believe that they're, spirit, but they treated me well. I have no reason to doubt that what you are telling me is true. And I will humbly do it. I just didn't understand before. And that, is that why Yahshua said, even to those that put him to death, forgive them, Father, if they know not what they do? Does he have hope for them? I think he does. And so we need to be careful in how we treat unbelievers. Growing in grace and knowledge of Yahshua and his example. 2 Peter and chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Master and Yahshua, Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. May it be so. Amen. So, Yahshua's example, everything He said, everything that He did is an example for us of what we should do because He was perfect, He was blameless. He was that symbolic Passover lamb for us. And He still will stand up for us. He will still intercede for us because He is a high priest in heaven. And just as we stumble at times, He is there to help. But we have to grow. We can't just hold on to the plow or one hand off or just relax. We really need to put forth effort. And if we stay close to Yahweh in prayer, in Bible study, we'll be given that strength to help us. And of course, we're given the Spirit for the very purpose of moving forward. We're going to have to turn here, but Hebrews 1:3 talks about Yahshua being the exact representation of Yahweh. Let's go over to backing up in 2 Peter to chapter 1. And we reviewed this in the Bible study this last week, but it's good to review it again. 2 Peter 1, and starting there in verse 4. For by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That divine nature is given through the Spirit. If we're in Him, we're in that Spirit, and we're not unfruitful. We'll be fruitful. Having escaped the corruption that was in the world by lust, we died to it. We're new creatures, following a different spirit now, Yahweh's spirit. Verse 5, it says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith. It's one of the first things we do, besides repentance. It says, upon that, supply moral excellence. Start walking in the straight and narrow. Don't be, you know, lustful and going after the flesh. Look above, look up, and not down. But to your moral excellence, knowledge, you know, growing in grace and knowledge. And your knowledge, self-control, having the ability to say yes to what's right and no to what's wrong. And then your self-control, perseverance, endurance, overcoming something that we need. And in your perseverance, being Yahweh-like, being righteous. Verse 7, and in your righteous brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. So we're to treat each other with kindness and mercy and love, and we are to have love really flowing from us. But, and I think ideally, this defines what being converted is. What about being unconverted? Is there such a thing? I think there is. And that's where we need to be careful that we don't become unconverted, that we don't fall to the wayside. In verse 8 it says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. Speaking of these, you know, the brotherly kindness, the moral excellence, the knowledge, having self-control. Says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, and the key here is increasing, I think, not only having them, but increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Master Yahshua the Messiah. But for he who lacks these qualities, he is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yahshua Messiah, will be abundantly supplied to you. And that's a promise. Yahweh promises it. Yahshua promises it. And he speaks what the Father tells him to. Now, with all this said, what do we do when we see a brother getting out of line? Do we A, tell one another? Do we B, complain about it? Or C, well, let's look at these. James 4, and this will be the, we'll close with these scriptures. James 4 and verse 11 says, do not speak against one another, brethren. Very plain, very simple. Skipping on over to verse 9, says, do not complain, brethren, against one another. So we're not supposed to do those things. But in verse 19 of James chapter 5, it says, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner. Can we sin? No, this is speaking of the brethren. And we see some people going out there and not doing the things they should be doing. They miss the Feast of Tabernacles, or they don't come to Passover. We need to reach out, try to help them if possible. It says, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. But to do so, to be able to do that for someone, we ourselves need to stop sinning. We need to be converted. And in Luke 6:42, Yahshua says, you know, for those that, well, let's just turn there. One last scripture here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 42. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye? Sometimes it's a small thing. When you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your own brother's eye. I was watching this done on video, the Bible on video, and they had Yahshua represented with it, and he had like a big old log that he took, and he held it up to his eye and said, look, you know, aren't you to take the log out of your own eye, you know, before trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye? And, you know, it doesn't say that he actually took anything and did that, but I think the different perspective is helpful to understand the verse and to remember it. But we need to reach out and help one another. Things are getting close to the end, I think. We see things in the world that, you know, now is the only time of recent that we've had the ability to annihilate ourselves. And, you know, Scripture says, well, if he didn't come, that's exactly what we would do. So he's going to come just before we're able to do that. And there's some other things that we see out there in the world. But now, I've not heard it said yet in Yahweh's assembly in Yahshua, and I'm not sure if there are the saying, I'm not sure if they're really converted. But I have heard and read, you will know them by their fruits. Brethren, let's make sure that we continue to do and produce good fruit in abundance for believers and unbelievers alike. Because we're to be witnesses in this dying world that we're in. And we are to come out so we don't partake of the sins, we don't partake of the plagues. And they are coming. So may Yahweh bless, may we be truly converted, and helping others learn the way of conversion as well. May Yahweh bless.